have no idea what loss is. You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it? Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat. Belly. I think they should be terrified of you.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Sky Atlantic television series. I'm your host Matthew, and today, it is actually today the 11th of June. I'm recording this a few days early, but as of the 14th of June 2025, The Last of Us, the original game released on the PlayStation 3, June 14th, 2013, which will be 12 years ago when I released this, is 12 years old. So for any of you, because I wasn't a day one fan, not because I didn't like the game from day one, but because I didn't have a PS3 in 2013. So for any of you who remember playing this game on launch day in 2013, that day that you remember booting it up and starting your journey as Joel, was 12 years ago. How time flies indeed. And Man United were Premier League champions when this game last came out. We haven't won a Premier League trophy since. So, yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to do, obviously, a podcast to celebrate 12 years of The Last of Us. Of course, we've got the other anniversary just around the corner, which is June 19th, 2020, which is when The Last of Us Part 2 turns 5. Look out for that later on as well. This podcast will contain spoilers. I'm assuming if you're listening to something like this, like an anniversary podcast, that you've either watched season one or you've played the first game. In either case, you're safe, I suppose, because you know the spoilers. So I will be going into spoilers because I want to talk about the impact of the story, what it's done to the industry, obviously the beginning of the game, the end of the game, both which contain very big pieces of this story. Talk a little bit more about my first time with the game as well, because as much as I've talked about Last of Us, which has been a lot of times obviously, I've not quite completely gone over those bits of my own story. 12 years for The Last of Us on the PS3. Of course, now we're in the PS5 era. I believe it was still the last first-party game, because obviously from Naughty Dog, released on the PlayStation 3, which was 12 years ago. Now we've gone all the way through the PlayStation 4, which of course is where we had Last of Us 2, and now fairly knee-deep into the PS5 generation, where we've had remasters of both games as well. Let's start off with this, because I had some things I wanted to say, but I'm going to use some notes to help to guide me, because I've been thinking about both of these games today. So that was nice to do. The importance to the industry, and both narratively for Naughty Dog, I do pretty much consider. Now, there's been some big games since, obviously, 2013, some very big story games in the industry, obviously Last of Us Part 2 being one of them, things like Red Dead Redemption 2, those are a few of the games that really stick out since then, among many others. But I think, obviously, we've had some big story games before The Last of Us as well, but The Last of Us really did do something quite special. There is something, just especially with that first game and obviously the launch of this IP, the launch of this franchise, it really did kind of just set off something unique and something special. Now, I did recently do a podcast called Discussing and Ranking All of Naughty Dog's Games, and something that the conclusion I came to within my own opinion, is I think The Last of Us is still Naughty Dog's most important game. Now, a lot of people point out Uncharted 2 for being that. But from where you left off with Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, and then this came along after that, I really do think kind of steered Naughty Dog itself into... Okay, you tried to tell a human story with Nathan Drake and all those characters in Uncharted, but now with The Last of Us and obviously Neil Druckmann coming along and Bruce Stradley and everybody else who's involved in that game, come along with this sort of much more mature, much more human condition type of story, I really do think push Naughty Dog forward, and it is almost kind of like... It almost sort of started this sort of new era for Naughty Dog to me. And obviously before kind of Uncharted, obviously they were a bit more of a, you know, lighthearted platformer studio with the likes of Crash Bandicoot and Jak and Daxter and things like that. But yeah, I really do think this is Naughty Dog's most important game. And it'd be curious to see where Naughty Dog is in about 5 to 10 years and see if they have like a third phase of Naughty Dog, because I almost do look at it like that, as this sort of, you started off with the fun games with Crash and with Jak and Daxter and obviously all the kart racing games and all that. You tried a more human story, or a story with a human person, basically, with Uncharted, and then you came along with this, with The Last of Us, and you just sort of leveled that up. So I do kind of look at Naughty Dog's like catalogue and look at 2013 from Last of Us onwards as sort of like a second phase, almost a bit like how you would do with like an MCU sort of thing, like the different sort of phases of Naughty Dog. And I don't know where the third phase could come in, or the next phase. Of course, we'll see what Intergalactic will do for this studio. But also as well, just because I think this had a very, very big effect obviously in the TV era, because even though you had a few decent video game to film and TV adaptions, like you had some decent ones, The Last of Us was kind of the one that woke up the industry in terms of, oh no, you can do that, you can do this, you know, the silly video game adaptions, but you can do it more serious, and you can do it in a big serious HBO drama and actually take it seriously and it be really, really good. So that kind of woke the industry up in that sense as well, when that kind of kicked off. But I don't know, and a lot of people talk about Last of Us in that way, of this sort of, it was one of the big checkpoints in the industry. And I always myself talk about kind of, okay, you have a lot of big games that always come out, but you, every sort of 2 to 5 years or so, you have like the next big game that pushes the industry on. I think you could probably look at, like, after Last of Us, you can probably look at a bunch of games from 2015. Maybe something like The Witcher kind of did that as well. And then you had things like Red Dead Redemption 2 that sort of pushed the industry on even more. And then you had Last of Us 2, really. And then we'll see what was sort of after that. So, for the industry and for Naughty Dog, I think this was a big kind of... almost pivot for the industry of this sort of, particularly as well with, because there's a few sort of like, there's a few ways The Last of Us could have fallen on its face a bit as well, because you also had things like, because traditionally the two sort of genres, and I'm going to say like zombie genres of stuff and comic book adaptions of things, can be looked at as sort of like, oh, that's a silly comic book film, or oh, that's a silly zombie film, even though we've had some obviously very big zombie stories. So for this to also come along and be like, oh, here's a new zombie game in the industry, but it not to be, it wasn't a silly story within the zombie, and obviously it's not a zombie story, it is very much a human story with an apocalyptic zombie sort of background to it. But you had that kind of going on as well, like this sort of, oh, here's this next big narrative video game. How good actually is it? Is it, you know, overrated? Because we do have that in the industry as well, of kind of these new big things that come along every now and then and get really, really, really praised. And it's smart sometimes to, admittedly, yes, take a step back and go, right, are we actually overrating this particular thing? Not just with Last of Us, but other like really, really big entries in the industry, not just for games as well, but for other stuff. And kind of look at some of them and think, why are we rating a certain something so highly? What is it specifically that it's doing? And The Last of Us was, I don't want to use the word lucky, because when you do look at the talent put into Last of Us, not just the cast, but obviously the people involved, obviously you've got Sony, you've got the PlayStation, you've got Naughty Dog, there's a lot of, you start listing the things that were put into making The Last of Us, the studio, the console, the brand, all that sort of thing, and it's like, yes, all of this makes sense, that it works and that it clicks together. But yeah, just this idea of like, oh, here's this new zombie game where you shoot zombies and you walk through whatever you do, could have been looked at as much more silly and could have come off a lot more silly. But I think it's fundamentally that just human condition, and particularly as well, one of the very, very, very big parts and probably the most successful key thing with The Last of Us, particularly with the first one, is that relationship between Joel and Ellie. It's not just kind of, oh, here's 10 oddball random characters and you'll see who can survive until the end of the story. It's like, okay, here's a bunch of other characters who are admittedly more sort of checkpoints, but here's these main two key characters, which become obvious that they're quite key. And they don't hate each other, but they certainly don't get on with each other, and they certainly don't like each other. And it's more kind of, they both understand there's just, he has a job, which is to take you to these people and see what they can do. It's just a smuggling job. I mean, there's literally a line, isn't there, in the game where he's like, nope, you're not family, you're just cargo. I think that's something that he says when they're in that car journey after they go to see Bill. And it's like, nope, you're not family, you're just cargo. And they just saw it as kind of a job for both of them. And then just bit by bit by bit by bit over this, not terribly long, like it's 12 hours is a fairly standard length for a solely narrative driven game. It's a pretty standard length for that, but just bit by bit by bit they start slowly breaking down each other's walls. Obviously Joel's wall is a bit arguably higher and tougher than anybody else's really in the entire series, and then just bit by bit by bit by bit as you go through the series. And they not only start breaking down each other's walls, but start bonding with each other. And then, you know, you look at the progress between, what's it, when they first meet and they're trying to, they're both like aiming guns at each other from what I remember. And then you get to the end, near the end bit, where Joel is pulling Ellie out of the water where she's almost drowned, where they've nearly found the Fireflies, and he's like terrified that she's going to die. Because obviously for his reasons with his daughter, and he doesn't want to go back there, and how masterfully you did that over, again, admittedly, a somewhat short length of time, not all of which is dialogue and stuff. A lot of it obviously is the gameplay and the combat and things like that, so it just absolutely is a masterpiece in terms of that. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and
the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
So I think that's kind of my first note covered, the importance to the industry, both narratively and for Naughty Dog. I would maybe go ahead as so far ahead to say that, and you can, you know, debate me on this if you want, is this the most important narrative game in the industry? Is it the most important one? I don't know if the answer is yes, but I lean more towards yes than no in terms of, is this the most important narrative-driven game in the industry, just because of what it did and how it affected games afterwards. And also, again, just I can't emphasize it enough, just the sort of, oh, we can actually do zombie stories, but do them seriously and do them, you know, better. Because even with something like, because at the time around 2013, what would be comparable? Something like The Walking Dead, where you had this first like serious season with Frank Darabont, and then it kind of went downhill, went back uphill, and so on and so forth. And that was one that was looked at as sort of, okay, Rick and Carl, they're obviously important to the story, and those are your sort of father and son figure, so you've got that sort of bond there, I suppose. But again, that was one where it's like, oh, this stupid, silly zombie TV show. Because, like, Walking Dead didn't do for the industry what The Last of Us did. And look, I love both of them very dearly. And you can kind of compare them in and around the same time, because they were, yeah, Walking Dead was, what would it have been, season 3 or so in 2013. So, yeah, I think Last of Us just pushed the envelope further, really. So, yeah. Let's talk about my first experience with the game, because, yeah, I did not have a PS3 in 2013. I cannot call myself a day one fan. Can certainly call myself a fan of the games. That's very, very obvious. But, I was not there in 2013. I did not see this thing when it first emerged. I was not there in the early years. I don't think I played this game until I got a PS4 in 2016. Because, yeah, that's when I started playing through the Uncharted games. And I caught up with PlayStation a bit more. Kind of going through The Last of Us, going through Left Behind, going through Uncharted. Sort of catching up with that era of PlayStation. So I was 3 years and technically one console late to this thing. But what's kind of very particularly interesting about that is, you know, when I think about all of the many, 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 many moments across all of The Last of Us and how they impacted me and what they did for the story and what they mean for each character, and obviously been there, done that, with thinking about all of those moments and what they mean for everything. But because when I went to play Last of Us 1 in 2016, and I knew about Sarah, I knew somewhat about the sort of hospital stuff. I didn't really understand the context of it, but obviously realized what was going on when I got to that bit. But kind of knew some stuff about that. I knew other things. I can't remember exactly, excuse me, all the things I remembered about Last of Us in 2016, but I knew about Sarah. I knew there was this character called Ellie or something, and there was some sort of immunity storyline. I knew the sort of the main spoilers. I didn't really sort of know lots of nitty-gritty stuff. I didn't know sort of the depths of, like, Bill's character or Tessa's character, for example. I can't remember what I knew about Left Behind, because that was out as well, and obviously the whole full kind of lesbian reveal of Ellie's character and the relationship with Riley, and obviously the whole infected storyline there and how all that kicked off. I can't remember what I knew about that at the time. I think I knew going in that Ellie was a lesbian female character. I can't remember knowing much about Riley herself, or anything like that, but I knew a few things from that, and then I already was like aware of Ellie's immunity and all that sort of thing. I was like vaguely aware of kind of, oh, there's like different types of infected, and I just kept hearing about these clickers and how like annoying they were, and I started hearing about shivs and things like that. So I knew a decent chunk of stuff, but I didn't know the sort of, I didn't know the clean A to B, like start to end finish of the story. I just knew sort of, oh, there's a, you know, Joel's daughter dies at the start, and then new kind of, Joel stopped them from making a cure at the end. He kills all the people in this hospital, but I didn't really know sort of, at least I don't remember knowing about kind of, because there's obviously the back and forth of like, you know, the debate on all that sort of thing. So again, I was hearing those conversations. I didn't know the context to that kind of stuff, but then it's interesting when you actually kind of go, because I also had seen like some gameplay of it and things like that, but, and again, it was one of them in the industry that, as much as you can try and avoid spoilers for like, you know, some stuff, because the game is so massive and obviously made such a massive impact, and you're talking 3 whole years later, like that is a long time, things were going to come up and things like that. So the funny thing to me was, and it's interesting to look back on this now, if PlayStation hadn't started coming out with some of their PS4 games, like I started hearing about just all these different games that PlayStation had been doing, even through the PS3 era with like Infamous, obviously with Last of Us, with Uncharted, and all these other many series that were out there. And that was at a point where like the Xbox One had come out, they were starting to slip away a little bit, and I just kept hearing about how great PlayStation was again. So if I had never, well, not that I left Xbox, you know, so to speak, because I still got an Xbox One and whatever anyway, and I was on a 360. If I had never gone back to PlayStation, I may never have experienced either of these games. And the last, 9 years, so not 12 years for me, the last 9 years of my Last of Us experience would have, well, it wouldn't have been there, really. I mean, I probably would have checked out the TV show, I suppose. Because I'm now trying to imagine a world where, like, where I never played Last of Us. And it might have gotten to a point where, like, let's say, I watched season one without knowing the game, whether we would have covered that the same way here now, because, you know, now you're talking like big butterfly effect type of stuff. It might have still gotten to a point where, like, I got a PS5 eventually and then just played both these games anyway, so that might have still happened, and I might have still played part two before season two, but I still wouldn't have had the same experience. So it was kind of thanks to sort of, again, not necessarily Xbox slipping away, but PlayStation was just growing and just getting better and better, and I just kept hearing about all their great games. Because the only reason I went from a PS2 to a 360 was because that was at a time when I was at high school, and a bunch of my friends ended up getting Xboxes, and of course there was no crossplay back then. You couldn't play COD with your PS3 mates if you're on Xbox 360. That just wasn't a thing, obviously not for PC either. And that's where I started getting into Halo and Gears of War, and I joined that library, and I went completely past the PS3 era of games, and as a result totally missed Last of Us when it was there. So if my friends had gotten a PS3 from the start, because it was that thing of like, hey, what console does your mates have so you can play the same games with them and that sort of thing. And it was as simple as that, really. It was a sort of, oh, my friends are getting an Xbox, so I should get one. And then just totally went past Last of Us in 2013 and never experienced it. So there's three different ways this could have gone, which the way that it did, which is I eventually went back to PlayStation and experienced both of these games. There's the version where, like, I stay with Xbox and never go back to PlayStation. That would have been an interesting one. And then the other one where I never, quote-unquote, left PlayStation and got a PS3. My friends would have got a PS3. And I probably would have been there day one with Last of Us. I don't think that, because even if it was one I wasn't specifically interested in, the game would have been so big at the time, which it was anyway, that I would have been like, right, this is the next big PlayStation game to play, and I would have just naturally played it anyway. The same way that I did when I went to a PS4 and I started picking up like all these games that I'd missed, including Last of Us. So yeah, that's sort of my story. That's a bit of the first part of my story with Last of Us. I already talked about the key relationship between Joel and Ellie. Yeah, probably one of the best examples in the industry of that sort of relationship. And it's a very, very particular one either. It's not sort of, because you think, like, if Sarah hadn't died, does Joel become a Firefly? Sorry, not a Firefly, Firefly. Does he, you know, does any of that stuff happen? Does he go down that road with Tommy? He might not meet Ellie, maybe somebody else meets Ellie down the road. Could have gone very, very different. So that's an interesting thing to, like, and that would have changed him as well, because he wouldn't have been as broken, because even though the world would have still been desolated and all that, he never would have met Ellie, never would have gone on that 20-year journey with Tommy. Whether or not Tommy would have done the same thing, I'm not sure. But yeah, would have never ended up being the kind of broken man looking for the new sort of, you know, daughter figure sort of thing. And then never would have met Ellie, would have stayed with Sarah, assuming she didn't die later on in the story from the clicker or something. Yeah, it's kind of that's an interesting butterfly effect itself to kind of think about. So, and then just to kind of wrap this up a little bit, the ending, of course, one of the big, big key things from Last of Us, because as much as the start and then all the checkpoint bits through the game and then the ending, as much as the start has its own singular impact, because there is no debate as to, again, unless Sarah didn't die, but that's not an in-game debate as much as what happens at the end is, that they're both fundamentally different key parts of this game. But yeah, the debate still rages on 12 years later. Did Joel do the right thing? Did he not do the right thing? Should the Fireflies have done something else? The interesting part to me about the whole debate, when people bring it up, they seem to just focus on, like, Joel versus the Fireflies, rather than talking about Marlena's part in the story, Jerry's part in the story, although Jerry was technically a Firefly, Jerry's part in the story, and then also talking about arguably the more key element, which is Ellie's whole part in this thing. It does kind of amaze me when this debate comes up, like, okay, did Joel do the right thing? Does it make him a villain, this, that, and the other? And it's all very, very interesting discussion. And the discussion is still going on today. There is still Facebook posts, Twitter posts, Reddit posts, YouTube videos. People still, you know, going back over that moment, talking about it, talking about what Joel did. Was it right? Was it wrong? And that's great. That's very, very interesting. And the fact that that conversation has been going on for 12 years really does show the dent that this game made in the industry. The dent that even just that moment, because you could arguably forget about the rest of the game and just look at that moment and how impactful it was, but obviously there's key elements that lead up to that moment that you can't really forget about. But it's just interesting, because to me there's four elements to it, which is the whole Ellie, like, she had no idea what was going on, and obviously you see the porch scene later on in season two, and you get the sort of resolution to that. Ellie had no idea what was going on. She was completely unconscious for the whole thing. Joel's obviously choice of like, no, you're not taking this girl away, and I'm gonna save her from you no matter what. Then the Firefly is admittedly having a bit of blind kind of, we've been researching this and we're pretty sure it works. But not considering, so because like the Fireflies clearly didn't consider, like, okay, is this actually what this young girl wants? And then the Marlena part is a more new curious piece to me, especially from the TV show of season one, where you find out how close she was with Ellie's mum, obviously played by, wonderfully played by, and beautifully played by Ashley Johnson in the show, of Marlena taking out Ellie's mum because she has to, and then Ellie's mum saying to her, like, make sure you look after this girl, and that leading eventually to her kind of handing her over to the Fireflies, because Marlena doesn't fight back much against that. She just, like, when she's talking to Joel in that moment about, like, oh, it involved cutting her brain open, she seems very just weirdly quickly settled on it. I might do a podcast later about Marlena herself. I mean, I haven't done any character spotlights for ages. Obviously, we've had the TV show to cover. It's a very, very interesting fourth piece to me, because to me, there's four pieces of it. Ellie, then Joel, Fireflies, and Marlena. Obviously, Marlena was the leader of the Fireflies, but she comes into the situation at a completely different angle, and I find that always kind of very interesting. But yeah, some people came away with, like, oh, he's saved Ellie, and he's the hero, and that's what the way they see Joel. Some people look at it as, like, oh my god, he's taken away the cure for the world, and he's the villain. So you end up on a completely flipped thing. And what I love about Neil Druckmann's approach to this whole thing, and I've noticed this in a bunch of different interviews and stuff, whenever somebody asks him, and usually it's Troy asking him, Troy Baker, who plays Joel in the game, usually says, like, hey, you presented this piece of information in the story, not necessarily this part, but, like, about all the different parts, and he goes, hey, when Ellie did this, or Bill did this, or Joel did this, what do you think that meant? What did that mean to you? And Neil always goes, well, what do you think? And it's something that works so well with The Last of Us, and pertaining to the way Neil turns that back around, is like, okay, you just asked me what I think, but what do you think of what's been presented to you in the story? Because The Last of Us is so morally interesting, because where you might look at a character and go, right, that's the villain, somebody else sees them as the hero. Or they look at Abby's actions, for example, and they go, right, she's the villain. But is she? Look at her reasons for doing what she's done, for example. Or you then look at what Joel did at the end of the first game. Oh my god, he's a villain because he killed a doctor who could make a cure thingamabob. Make the cure from Ellie. That makes him a villain. Does it? He's just saved Ellie's life. Does that mean make him a hero? But then he's doomed the world. But has he doomed the world? So really, I always love that kind of, I don't know, apart from, you know, maybe more clearly sort of villainous characters like David, for example, although David's got his reasons for doing his thing in the story, it's just, and again, maybe that's my take on David, is just, okay, by the time he reaches the end of his story in the first game, he's clearly very villainous, but there are reasons that he's got to that point in the story. But the way that so many people can look at the different characters and go, right, I think he's a hero, that person's a villain, no, that person's a villain, that person's a hero, okay, that person's a good person that's done a bad thing, or a bad person that's done a good thing, or whatever else. And again, apart from certain parts in the stories which I think are a bit more clear cut, like David, just this idea of, I might see Joel as a villain, as a hero, but you might see him as a villain. And if you turn around to Neil and say, this, for example, is Joel a hero or a villain? Well, what do you think? What do you think based on the actions that you've seen him do? Because there's very few things in this game that are morally, you know, black and white. or clear cut. And how that fundamentally, that whole moral compass thing has fed into the end debate on Joel as a character and the Fireflies and Ellie and everything else. I suppose Joel is the one that's focused on there because he's the one that does the act, right? He's the one that stops the Fireflies because obviously if he'd just walked off, Fireflies would have done what the Fireflies would have done. So, because for me as well, like, it's, I can see why some people look at Joel and go, right, what he did at the end of this first game is villainous because of the whole cure angle, but I understand that, but don't agree with that, because I look at it in a different way, because there's the whole Ellie element, and the realism of, okay, could have made a cure, but how viable would it have been, how could you have, you know, all those kinds of stuff. And obviously the debate kind of got refreshed again when people watched season one and when people saw that story for the first time. Again, they might have known certain parts, but when they see it fully fledged for the first time in the show and they present it, you know, basically the same way, and new people get to see that, and new people get to join that debate and, like, talk about the ending and stuff. So, and yeah, 12 years later, here we still are. And even when The Last of Us itself gets brought up, and obviously what happens to certain characters in part two and in season two and what happens there and how that feeds off of, you know, the end of the first game and everything, the ending of this first game always gets brought up. And because there's something I hope that all of us can agree on in a way, whether you do or don't like The Last of Us, right? Let's say you don't like certain story parts, or you don't like the gameplay, or the gameplay is not for you, or maybe there's just some parts of it that don't click for you. The fact that, and there's even, you know, parts in part two that have been debated and talked about for 5 years, which we'll get to with the part two podcast. But for somebody to come up with this story, and not just Neil Druckmann, obviously there's other people involved, and whether you liked the ending, didn't like the ending, thought it was good, bad, whatever else, the fact that that ending did what it did and had such a cultural impact that 12 years later, people are still talking about it, whether you liked it, didn't like it, or whatever else, you have to acknowledge and give testament to it, just the impact that that's had, and the fact that people are still talking about that years later, over a decade later, and probably will continue to do so when we get, you know, the next seasons of the show, and people talk about, whenever the subject of, like, Joel himself comes up, whenever that is, and people go back to that choice and go back to that ending, and it gets brought up again and again and again, or even in 10 years where someone picks up the first game for the first time, or watches the first season for the first time, or, you know, in a couple of years ago, oh, yeah, I heard about this Last of Us thing or whatever. Might seem unlikely, but I didn't pick up the first game until 3 years after it came out. And then I picked it up, and then I had my own experience of the first game's ending, and I got involved with the debates. These things can happen years later. I don't know how long that debate will continue to go on for about the first game's ending, but 12 years is a very good streak so far. And it will probably just keep continuing to come up. So anyway, very happy 12th anniversary to Last of Us. It's a game that, yeah, I think is very, very, very important to the industry, very important to Naughty Dog. I think it's Naughty Dog's most important game. And again, whether you like it, don't like it, whatever else, or anything else in between, I don't think that you can argue against the fact that this game, whether it's for good, bad, or whatever else, this game has certainly left its mark on the industry. Because if it had no impact, it probably wouldn't have been adapted to a TV show, would it? So, especially not a big fancy HBO prestige drama. So, yeah, whether you like it, don't like it, something in between, it's certainly left its mark after 12 years. And in a couple of days, when it is the 14th, because it's the 11th, like I said, for me, people will probably be talking about the first game again when this comes up. They will probably see the traditional, you know, anniversary YouTube videos or videos or whatever else. And people will talk about the game all over again. And then next year, when it's got its 13th anniversary, they'll probably do it again. And so on and so forth. Anyway, what's your thoughts on The Last of Us? What do you think of its impact in the industry? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Whether you like the game or don't like the game, whatever else, let me know. But what do you think of its impact on the industry and its impact on Naughty Dog, its impact on narrative storytelling, the fact that it was one of the first, like, serious drama adaptions for a video game? There had been, obviously, video game adaptions before, but Last of Us was really the first one that's picked up this kind of new era of, like, more serious video game adaptions. So, yeah, whatever your thoughts on Last of Us or its 12-year anniversary or your thoughts on the ending, the beginning, or anything else in between, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkCare, entertainmenttalk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night podcast. There's going to be a few things coming out, as there always is. There's a massive gaming talk we did a couple of days ago, which is from the 10th. Covering the state of play, covering Summer Game Fest, and covering the Xbox showcase as well. So we had a whole bunch of stuff to talk about there. It's a very, very long podcast, so go and get involved in that. Got this podcast for the anniversary of The Last of Us, and there'll be some other podcasts as well coming soon. If you want to support what we do here on Entertainment Talk, you can, of course, check out more of our podcasts, TV, games, films, main night podcasts on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms Entertainment Talk. The TV, games, films, Monday night podcast. You can support us by listening to more episodes, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio's Tuesdays, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk for your TV and your film news. So check out all of that as well. And then you can find us on YouTube, where there is some Last of Us gameplay and stuff on there as well. YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.